Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer. This is Robert Moss. This is where we celebrate the power of dreams, coincidence, and imagination in our lives. We have a great guest today. Her name is Valerie Reed. She owns a healing center, Chrysalis Healing Arts, in Dallas, Texas. Has her private practice as a teacher of active dreaming, our stuff. She's a consultant for the good, the social good. She tries to bring healing to people and families and to the earth itself all over the map. I know she's recently in Bosnia, but I was also last year on a different itinerary. I know she's taught in Ireland. I know she leads wild women's retreats. And I want to call her the Rose Girl because of a story I'm going to ask her to share with us in a moment. Her website is, I believe, chrysalishealingarts.org. Welcome, Valerie.
Hi, Robert. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, you are a great dreamer. That's the thing I should have said first and foremost. But I'd like you to introduce yourself by telling us the story from long ago in our lives. I guess it's from the 1980s now, isn't it? When you were working as a rose girl, going restaurant to restaurant, selling those long-stemmed roses, and your life may have been saved by a dream that you listened to and honored. Tell us that story.
Yes, that was a quite impactful experience that I had when I was in my mid-20s, and it was during the 80s, as you mentioned, and during the time of the savings and loan recession, and I suddenly lost my job working in a commercial real estate company and had to find work quick, and the only thing I could find was working as a rose girl. So that's what I was doing at the time. And one night I had this dream before going to a shift on the weekend, right? And I saw myself dressed in my costume that I wore, working in a country western bar. And in the dream, I'm walking around the club with my basket of roses, making the rounds. And as I pass in front of the door of the bar, a man, he goes through the door, and he shoots as he comes in the bar. And I see myself shot in the neck and fall slow motion to the ground. My roses spread everywhere and surrounded by blood, and I have a very visceral experience of witnessing my own death. And I know that I have died, and I don't look at it as a symbolic death. I feel
right.
It in my bones.
Right.
And I'm terrified when I have that
dream. Okay, you're answering some questions that I might have had, but before we get to them, just to clarify, do you have the split screen, so to speak, throughout the dream because you are observing yourself at the end of the dream? It sounded as if in the early stage of the dream you're right in that role. Were you observer as well as actor in the start of the dream, or did you accomplish a sort of witness perspective as the dream went along?
You know, I was really in the observer mode. I could see myself kind of from a distance, you know, almost like I was seeing what was happening from the place of the front door. It was like I kind of just was panning the space in the bar as I walked around, right? So it was more about the movement of me tracking me as I moved through the bar. And then as I got close to the door, I was really seeing myself up close, really from the observer, yes.
So you're observer, but as you wake, you feel the terror of actually having suffered the experience. You have no doubt it's you and that this is a plausible, realistic scenario that could play out. Is that right?
Yeah, it seems like the moment of that shift in my consciousness of really feeling it in a personal way rather than the observer mode was when I saw it in slow motion. It felt like it was happening to me then.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you get in a car accident or something like that, things slow down when you're actually, you know, in the trauma of it. And it was
yes.
really experiencing it in that way.
Okay, so you did things that we've learned to do consciously in our practice. You did them instinctively as a natural dream at the time. You consulted your feelings. The feelings told you this was big, this was urgent, had to be taken seriously. So you took action, right?
Yes, I did. And I even called, you know, the place where I worked at the time, and I told them, you know, I called in sick. I told them I wasn't going to work. And they told me that if I didn't, they told me I was going to, I had the best route, and I was going to make a lot of money, and if I didn't come into work, they were going to fire me. And they told me exactly what my route was, that I was going to work, because you never knew what clubs you would be in. And one of the clubs listed, you know, that they gave me was the club that I dreamt about. So I knew for sure that I couldn't go to work then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, yes.
So... and also, there was a little bit of conflict in my relationship at the time, you know, with giving me the information, that pressuring me to go to work and telling me it was just a dream and I was, you know, being irresponsible by not, you know, going to work. And so so when I chose not to go to work and I did get fired, I felt really, you know, terrible. But the next day on the front page of the newspaper, was a story of a man that went into the club called Bell Star, which is not there anymore, but that was the club. And a man had gone into the club the very night that I was scheduled to be there and shot three people.
Wow.
So that was the confirmation of the
wow.
outcome. Yeah.
Well, this is an incredible, well, thank goodness you listened to your dream, even because your job and your paycheck at the time. I mean, thank you for honoring the dream and reading it correctly and trusting your feelings and shrugging aside the people who didn't want to hear the dream because they didn't know what dreams can do. I mean, you just taught us something you and I both know, and an ancient and indigenous dreamers often know too. I mean, we can dream true. We can dream in a quite literal way of scenarios that might unfold, not just, you know, horrible ones, not just deadly or lethal or terrible ones, but we can dream of alluring and beautiful scenarios too. And they can play
yes.
out, but they require action. If we don't want to be killed in the Bell Star Club with a basket of roses, don't go that night. And if you want
yes.
to find Mr. Wright, who you met in your dream, you better take some action to put yourself in that place rather than staying away from it. It's interesting how we know what a dream is telling us. I mean, you talked about the sense of things going into slow motion, as they might do when you're going into a car accident or something like that. I recognize that. I recognize that on the roads of ordinary life. But to me, Valerie, if a dream is about my literal death, we have different signs. The way I know it's about my possible literal death, at probably not too distant a time, is that I am thrown, without being willing to go, into a series of bizarre scenes, alternating from black and white to color, of course, like most of us, I dream in color most of the time, but often when this transition takes place, I'll go into a black and white episode and then a colored one, and they're bizarre and strange and chaotic, and I will know almost immediately I've just been thrown into a chaotic, confused bardo state by a sudden death for which I was not prepared. And recognizing that mark has saved me from death on the road a couple of times. I've gone back then, looked at the exact situation, you knew the club from your dream. I looked at it, it's that intersection, it's those circumstances. It's that place, the double yellow on the line, by the side of the road will be, and avoided death by, you know, picking up my own marker. So it's very important for anyone listening who wants to develop a practice of dreaming for survival here to recognize the markers that are telling you a dream might be about a possible future. So that has just given us an education, as well as a wild thriller of a dream narrative, with your Rose Girl story. And I know that the rose has continued to be a symbol for you. You've unfolded a fantastic tapestry of rose dreams, of some of a very mystical kind, evoking the conference of the bird, the Sarod, or Dean Ashar. I was looking at an exhibition of his works as depicted by Peter Cease, the Czech artist in Prague, a couple of weeks ago. I love him too. So your secret of the rose kept you alive in the case of that dream, and it's brought you into all sorts of mystical dreaming experiences since. I want to jump across to something else, Sally, because you also, you have a very good blog. People find your blog through the Chrysalis Healing app website, will they, or is there a separate address
yes.
for the blog?
Yeah, okay. There's a link there, too.
ChrysalisHealingArts.org, I think, will take you to Valley's production, and she writes very well. She writes some really stellar dream narratives. One she posted recently is about entering some kind of portal to understanding our connection with other selves in our multidimensional families, and you compared it to an octopus portal. It's not actually an octopus, but it has eight tunnels or tubes or tentacular-like appendages linking you to eight different life stories, it seems. Tell us the dream, and then we'll start opening out what we can share about the multidimensional adventure of dreaming.
Yes, this was a dream where I found myself going through a doorway, and when I opened the door, I was looking into space, into the infinite, right? And I looked around, and I was seeing a circle of doors that also opened at the same moment with versions of myself standing in the door. And so then the dream took me at that point into this awareness of being, as you mentioned, similar to an octopus, where each one of the doors or each one of the legs of the octopus have their own consciousness, separate from like the hub of the wheel or the hub of the brain of the octopus. That it is in itself its own experience, its own consciousness. And so it was as if I was in that consciousness in the dream and experiencing what that was like to be a leg of the octopus and having that consciousness. And so from that point, then I saw spinning in the cosmos the Dharmic wheel, the Buddhist wheel, the Eightfold Path, right, that has the eight spokes and the hub in the center, the wheel of Dharma. So that was the dream. It was very profound and seems to be presenting a model for how to explore consciousness and perhaps the path of Dharma, that higher consciousness.
Well, I was very excited when I read this description. Have you tried to re-enter the dream? Have you tried to explore further?
You know, I haven't re-entered this dream. I just haven't gone back in. Yeah,
okay.
It's a little bit challenging to go into those multidimensional spaces.
Well, it would make a magnificent portal for a group journey, actually. Because the architecture,
yes.
If I can call it architecture, though you're calling it an octopus, is so clear with the eight tunnels or tubes or personalities and the central entity. And the eightfold nature of the scene, it takes you to Buddha's Dharma, it takes me to the octagon and many, many other places, including, I don't know if you read about this, I posted a brief account in one of our private Facebook pages of adventures we made in our master class at Masterful Hollow in December. Dali is a certified teacher of active dreaming. Our level 3 teachers gather once a year and have a class beyond all classes. And this time we made a journey to what we called the quantum cinema. And the idea was that with the aid of shamanic drumming, we would together enter a space where we could look in on several parallel or multidimensional life experiences at the same time. And the form that the quantum cinema took is basically the form of an octagon with numberless octagonal screens inside the octagonal cylinder of the space. And we succeeded. It didn't have the simple geometry of your dream. It just sort of eight personalities and one central self would be easier to manage, perhaps, than what we did. But quite a few of us succeeded in following simultaneously, it seems, in split-screen fashion or with multiple levels of consciousness. The adventures of parallel or multidimensional selves in different spaces at the same time. So we were practicing being present to and observer of several personalities in different realities operating at the same time in a conscious dream journey. It worked very well. But I really like your simple geometry with the eight and the central one. And when you I think you also reported in your blog that a lot of the brain functioning of an octopus is actually in its tentacles rather than its head. Is that right?
Yes, I was really surprised to see that confirmed, you know, from my experience that I had in the dream, and then when I researched it, I found that is actually where most of the neurons are located, is in the legs rather than at the central hub of the brain, of the octopus.
I like that detail, too, because here we are, you know, you and I, and perhaps we've got another seven personalities. Actually, I like the number 14. For myself, better than eight, but eight is good. Eight is manageable. We've got all these personalities. We've got some neuronal activity and brain stuff going on in each of us. I think the central brain or central mind has a lot more neurons, or maybe it doesn't need fleshy neurons, but a lot more neurons, a lot more brain power than any of us have. But the idea that there is, you know, neuronal activity, brain firing going on at the end of the tentacles, meaning us, is really charming, and it brings in the octopus analogy in a delightful way. So this, for people listening in, is a sample of how Valerie Reed dreams. She is a multidimensional dreamer. She has adventures of many kinds, and at the end of the day, she's also very much about bringing it down to earth, doing some good, bringing peace, bringing healing, defending the rights of women and oppressed people. So she's an activist with all of these, all of this. She's one of those who realizes that dreamers can be doers in the sense of changing things in the physical world and the social world about us, and I applaud Valerie for her courage and passion in pursuing her causes. In a little while, maybe we'll wait till after the break so we don't get interrupted, I'm going to see whether Valerie has a recent dream that she'd like to share with me so we can demonstrate our simple four-step lightning dreamwork technique. And I might give her a very, very simple dream vignette from my side. As a matter of fact, Valerie, since my report is so short, I might start it now. Will you play Dream Guide for me?
I would love to, yes.
We may get interrupted, but it's very short, so we can at least do the basic narrative. So
okay.
I'm in something like a workshop space, and I'm gathering my stuff up and packing my bag, packing my drum bag and maybe a carry-on bag to go off on my travels, and I discover I have many gifts people have given me. And I'm surprised to find that among the gifts is a ring. It is a very large ring. It looks almost too large for any hand. And the central feature of the ring is a golden deer, an antlered deer, a stag, I think, who is sort of, looks almost freestanding. He's in high relief. He's stepping out of the silver background. And the lines in the silver background look like the woods. So the stag looks as if he just stepped out of the woods, and it's so alive, although it's clearly gold, the metal gold. It looks as if he's about to step into the space, and the ring is banded with what I would call white gold, studded. It's all quite beautiful. And I'm amazed that I have received this gift. I was unaware that I had it, and I look and see it would fit on my fingers. No, I don't think it would. It's huge. I don't think it would fit on even a very large man's fingers. But I put it on my left thumb, and it sort of fits there, and people are gathering around and looking. And they're gasping. I mean, they're gasping. They're astonished. There it is. So I have. So the dream vignette is the gift of the golden stack.
Beautiful. How did you feel when you woke up from the dream?
I felt grateful. I felt happy. I felt blessed. I really felt. I felt potent. I felt strong. I felt alive. I felt happy.
Yes. And what kind of in what ways does that relate to your waking life, the details of the dream?
Well,
up in your waking life?
I've been leading groups on a mountain, which is a mountain of the deer energy, for 24 years now. It's a mountain in New York, Adirondack. The dominant energy up there is the energy of the deer. The deer, the antler deer, has appeared as a healing energy. I've written poems of blessing and invocation of the deer of that mountain. In my early shamanic experiences, that people often think of me in terms of bear and the big cats, the deer was very important. I have encountered the antler goddess in the far north in my shamanic journeys, so I think the antlers are not just about the boys. And I used to carry a silver deer in my pocket, a sort of talisman of a silver deer, not a golden deer, but a in a very big early shamanic journey, I met a golden deer. So it's got a lot of resonance for me, and the symbolism of the antlers is huge for me, and because I think of the antlers as connecting the physical with the spiritual realm and as the symbol of regeneration. So that's where we start with my first responses. I think we'd better draw breath, Sally, because we're about to take a required break, and let's pick up with, you know, your further questions and feedback after the break. You're listening to A Way of the Dream with Robert Noss. My wonderful guest, who's in the midst of grilling me about a dream, is Sally Reed. You can find her at chrysalishealingarts.org. We'll be back in a moment after the break.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
When you're looking for bedding, department store prices can shock you. Well, be shocked no more. Sell steak cheap, not cheap steak. That's the motto of Anna's Linens. Although they don't sell steak, they do sell the best bedding, bath, and home decor items. They strive to provide their merchandise at extreme value to their customers, and they do it. Great everyday prices on everything and military discounts. Plus, if you visit them online, they have clearance items and internet specials. Visit them online now at HealthyLife.net's advertiser page.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Welcome back. This is Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Pop over to MossDreams.com and see what's going on. We've got most of my public events calendar for this year up there. Soon you'll be hearing about new online video courses now for the Shift Network that we're holding, and you'll hear about my new book that will be coming out in the fall about growing your big dreams, about using active dreaming and creative imagination for manifestation. And what we want to manifest now is the rest of a delightful conversation with Sally Reed. She started questioning me about my dream of a ring as a golden stag, and she'd just been asking me what my connection or association with the stag with the deer was in regular life. So, Sally, over to you. Play guide again.
Yes, happy to. Thank you for sharing this beautiful dream. And so, moving on to the next step, the question is, what do you most want to know from the dream?
Well, I suppose I want to know who gave me the ring and how the ring is to be used. I'm not certain, for example, that the ring is to be actually worn on the finger, or in this case, the thumb. I'm not sure how the ring is to be used. I mean, it's certainly a ring of power. Kind of benign power, positive power. There's no darkness, nothing sinister about this. This is the deer in the best sense. I feel the power of spirit, the power of regeneration. And also, I guess it's a bit, I mentioned Harry Potter, it's a bit, in the break, it's a bit like the Patronus deer stepping out in Harry Potter, actually. That's not my first association with it, but there is a sense that this is a protective and benign entity represented with the ring. And that the ring is actually alive, fully alive.
Yes. Okay. So would you like feedback on the dream?
What's that? Oh, yes, please. Yes,
please. Yes. Oh, yeah. If this were my dream, I am recalling the silver talisman of the stag that I have seen you use before as a protective energy. And also I have been to the mountain and the energy there. And so what I was imagining in my mind's eye was picturing the ring on the thumb and kind of the larger size of it, even though it was on the thumb, is that it has this energy of community, that it is protective, and perhaps a guide, an energy that can be brought into the community for journeying and dreaming and healing, and it feels like it carries for me a lot of heart energy. that golden energy, I really connect with the heart. So it's
my dream, I feel very strong that it's beautiful. Yes. When I lead people on a journey through the energy center, through the chakras, you might have made this kind of journey with me. I'm finding the deer offering its heart as an animal sacrifice. So they're actually drawn and painted as that. So the feeling that there is something here of the heart that is a gift and power for community feels absolutely right to me.
Beautiful. Well, I, you know, one other thing that just occurred to me that I wanted to offer, it has to do with the connection with that feminine energy, the goddess perhaps, and the stag as a guide into that realm or bringing that energy in, and that is something that I have seen in some of my journeys, seeing the stag on the golden path of pollen to the goddesses. So I feel a personal connection to that in that image. So I don't know if that resonates with you, but I just wanted to offer that as it pops up in my awareness.
Well, that resonates with me very much. As I said to you, I mean, I have visioned with the antler goddess of the north, and I think one of the chapters in my book, The Boy Who Died and Came Back, is called In Search of the Antler Goddess. If that's not its title, it was certainly its tentative title. So I'm a man who, in a sense, has been in search of the antler goddess for a very long time. The deer on my ring, on the ring, I think, is male. However, it does lead along all those deer trods, all those deer tracks that you were talking about. It leads us to the realm of Ellen, of the ways, the dream ways, and the deer paths. It leads us to the antler goddess of the reindeer people and the Carib people. So that's all implicit in the scene. But it is, I think, a male energy from the ring, but it's a male energy that is presenting itself in a benign and protective and healing form.
Yes, beautiful. So what comes to mind as an action you might take based on the dream?
Well, I drew it. I did a drawing. The boy artist in me is delighted whenever I do a drawing and add color, so I've honored it to that extent. I wouldn't think of, you know, having the ring made or looking for the ring to turn up in the physical world, though, of course, if it turns up, I will be delighted and dazzled and ready and will, you know, obviously receive it or touch it or admire it if it turns up in the physical world. I think it's more a question of carrying the heart-centered energy and the sense that, you know, joins you and me and all of our other dream ambassadors, that what we're doing in spreading the dreaming and the ways of dreaming in our time is a way of bringing people to places of soul and survival and giving them resources to get through. And giving them even perhaps with the deer some hope of regeneration and some hope of a deeper spiritual connection. Because as I said quickly, the antlers called the Oskonundu in the Iroquoian languages, which means the living bones, the antlers are, for so many people, including European ancestors and Asian ancestors, a symbol of connection because they go from the physical head into the spirit plane. So in so many traditions, the one who wears the antlers, the human who gets to put on the antlers, whether it's the dancing ancient Chinese female Wu shaman or the Kanunas kind of figure, the shaman type wearing the antlers, is somebody who is emphasizing through what is placed on the head the fact that the link is secured and maintained between the physical world and the spiritual world. So carrying that kind of understanding or attitude, you know, on the paths of this life is probably the way I'll go forward with it. I have to add something else, Valley. I didn't mention earlier. The badge, I'm not big on genealogy, but on my father's side, I'm Scottish. And my father's clan, which is the Maxwell clan, the Moss clan is a sub-clan of the Maxwell clan, their badge is the antlered deer. And the motto is Reveresco, which means I grow back. So I will carry that motto more deeply than before, Reveresco, I grow back, and carry the wish for other people, too, that they can grow back from whatever has brought them down or hurt them or stunned them or put them out of play in life.
Beautiful. Well, I love that that larger community includes the ancestors as part of that energy, as we were talking about, that having that community energy in the ring. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
So we managed to demonstrate fairly quickly, though we did get interrupted twice, once by the break and once by a mysterious call drop. It reminded me of one time, actually, I was doing a live shift network class from Mosswood Hollow. I don't really been to Mosswood Hollow yet, magical place near Seattle where I teach in the Greenwoods, and I was doing a class on Celtic dreaming. And I was invoking Celtic forms of a goddess of abundance, the Romano-Gaulish goddesses were called Rosnetta and Abundancia and so on, and I was doing something very nice, and I was giving a meditation to approach this radiant goddess of abundance with a basket or a cornucopia, and I'm saying live on the show, and the goddess smiles and the goddess says, and suddenly I cannot speak, Belly, my voice is cut off as if someone's put piano wire around my neck, and we recover, and I get, it's no technical problem, my voice is usually in good order, and very, very rarely interrupt, very rarely have to clear my throat or have any problems. I go outside where some of our people have been practicing for journey exercises they are required to lead in the training the next day, and I think, what have you people been doing? They said, oh, we've been re-entering a dream about a leprechaun. We decided we'd go and meet a leprechaun in a group shamanic journey. I said, you're journeying to meet a leprechaun while I'm doing a class on Celtic dreaming? No wonder everything started going wrong and my voice was cut off. But I don't think that we did anything to offend a leprechaun or imp or anything in particular. Probably just one of those little happenstance moments, which might have just brought us back in stronger voice with greater clarity than before. We're getting ready for another break shortly. After the break, I'm going to ask Valley Reed to share a dream with me and give me the chance to play guide. If you're following this, or if you haven't been following this, we are demonstrating a core technique of our School of Active Dreaming. We call the technique the Lightning Dreamwork. I chose that name because it's meant to be quick, like a bolt of lightning, and it's meant to focus energy. It's meant to be something you can do in a very few minutes with just about anyone. You don't have to be an expert. Doesn't matter if you're right or wrong in your feedback. What matters is that you should help the dreamer to find the meaning of their own dream and then to take action to embody healing and guidance from the dream world into the physical world. That is the essence of real magic, to bring gifts from one world to another world. There are four steps. You have Valley do them with me. You get the story with the title. You ask a few questions, starting with feelings. You offer some feedback in a nice way, saying, if it were my dream, if it were my life, if it were my vision. And then you ask for an action plan. I gave a somewhat philosophical action plan because I think with this dream, for me, it's more a question of carrying the power, carrying the energy and emanating that and operating with it from the heart in community than of any one specific action, like a ring that one might physically wear or carry. I think it's a power, a blessing, and the possible radiance or radiating from that that is to be carried in life. I think we must be ready for a break. I'm not sure.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Listen to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Our guest is Valerie Reed. I think she has a dream she's going to share with me. It'll be my chance to play guide. Go ahead, Valerie.
Yes, thank you. I actually incubated a dream intention last night to connect with my creative daemon or my creative genius. And so I had this dream of being in a business meeting. And the title of the dream is Meeting My Creative Daemon. And so I'm in a business meeting in the dream, and it's in a conference room. And there's a woman there, and she, in the dream, I know that she is a Filipino woman, and she seems more spirit than human. And she is dressed in a suit, and the meeting seems to be professional. We are working on a big project. There's a number of people from different parts of the community there. And so this is going to be an ongoing project. And she is in charge of bringing the refreshments for the meeting. And she brings these, she manifests them magically for the group. And it's all kinds of delectable desserts that are just like food that is new to everyone. And everyone just really, really loves it. And it creates this feeling in the meeting that everyone wants to be there and loves to come. And so then she shows me how to do the same thing, how to make these delectable desserts manifest for the group meeting. And as the dream proceeds, it's like the meetings continue, you know, over a span of time. And so we're taking turns with me providing the refreshments sometimes and her providing the refreshments sometimes. And it's like we're collaborating in leadership roles in the ongoings of the meetings that are happening in the dream. So that was the primary part of the dream.
What's the title for the dream?
The title that I chose is A Meeting with My Daemon, yeah. My creative
meeting
daemon.
With your daemon, D-A-I-M-O-N or D-A-E-M-O-N, your daemon, daemon. Demon sounds a bit rude these days. Okay. Did you ask for your creative
daemon?
Yes, you got your daemon. Okay.
Yes.
Feelings coming out of the dream? Feelings, those feelings?
Well, I really connected with what was being served, the delectable desserts. It was like, you know, it was almost like fairy treats, you know, fairy cakes. It was very magical. And I was really feeling that well fed and the energy of you know, learning how to do that. So I had a lot of excitement about that.
Okay.
And enjoyment. It was fun.
Enjoyment. Well, those are feelings. I've never heard someone answer the question, what are your feelings, by saying well fed. But that will answer them. That's fine. I felt well fed. That's good, actually. That's very cute. So what do you recognize from the dream? It's very, very much a business-like setup to begin with. Did you say she was Filipino? Is that what you said?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So what,
I had that awareness in the dream. But
okay.
Go ahead.
So any connection to the Philippines, Filipinos, and what about the business setup?
It does connect me with another dream that I've had some time ago about writing stories that were like, so I was told they were Filipino fairy tales or folk tales, and it was like for young people, actually, I believe. So I was being given these kind of indigenous stories to share from that tradition.
Well, that's very interesting, given the nature of the desserts or the fairy cakes you started calling them in the dream. First of all, what about the business setup? There's a business meeting. There are going to be other meetings. Are you involved in any situations like this or any setups like this?
I have in the past done long-term projects, big projects, like the International Women's Summit that I organized last year in Bosnia. That was a year-long project, you know, doing online meetings, actually, but with people, like a steering committee, you know, where people get together and do these things and plan for a long-term vision like that. It felt like that kind of an activity, really, but it was in an actual physical building.
Is the physical building one you could be in the future, whether or not you recognize it at this point?
Pardon? Could you repeat that?
Could you be in this physical situation of this meeting in the future?
Yeah, I could. It kind of seems like one of those, those shared cooperative business spaces where there's a lot of creative energy and cross-pollination between people in those kinds of settings. So, yeah, I've been in those settings to do meetings like that.
So that's generically familiar, and it could manifest in the future.
Yes.
And you think it sounds like you don't recognize the space at the moment, but you would know it if you find yourself in that space.
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, and the table
what about the delectable desserts that you start calling fairy cakes? Is this anything like this familiar to you? Would you like something like this?
The food that we were serving was new to me, and it was really, you know, there was so much enjoyment in sharing the food together. Everyone really was drawn and wanted to be at the meeting because of it,
It
created this anticipation. But it's not anything that it was new to me, definitely. And it was perhaps otherworldly.
Well, we heard your intention. You wanted to contact your creative genius, your daemon. Any particular questions you have thinking about the dream now?
Yeah, I definitely would like to know what we were working on in the meeting, what the focus of gathering together was. I want to know, I think, the connection between manifesting these treats and how that plays into what I'm manifesting in the physical world. There was something about learning about manifesting in the physical world, too.
Yes.
So that seems an important part of the dream. Yeah.
Well, if it's my dream, I feel excited with a tremendous sense of direction. I mean, I mean, whatever I'm doing, I'm bringing people in because I'm feeding them well and giving them something that is sweet and delightful, and even with an element of magic, I'm producing the right desserts. And most people, not Robert personally, but most people that Robert knows would be definitely drawn by delicious desserts. So I found something that appeals to people and is bringing in a strong audience, generating a strong interest, and is also, apparently, even if it's very sweet, nourishing people. It's all in a business setting, and so very much about my creative genius orienting me to do things in a business-like way with plans and organization, etc. I'm very curious that if this is my creative genius, she's taken on the guise of a Filipino. I have to go into that more deeply. The connection with the Tagalog or indigenous fairy stories is good, but maybe there's something in the modern business environment as well. And I'm drawn to think about how when I ask for guidance, sometimes I see a part of myself that is the businessman, Robert, who part of company within it. When I became a dream teacher, turning up saying, what about me? I've got some advice for you as well. We have to take another break. We'll come back with Valerie Reed to discuss what action she's going to take about her dream in quest of the creative genius. What a great theme. After the break, you're listening to Way of the Dream or the Other Side.
all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
All right, you're listening to Where's the Dreamer with Robert Moss. We have our wonderful guest, Sally Reed. We've been discussing her dream that flowed from setting an intention to meet her creative genius or her creative daimon. And she got an interesting Filipino lady and an interesting creative, a business-like setup and delectable desserts that might be fairy cakes. So I gave some immediate feedback. So the last question we always do in our process is we ask, okay, Valley, what action will you take to honor the dream or to carry some energy or guidance from it into your life? Will you seek out delectable desserts like those and eat some and maybe have them available for other people? What's your action plan?
Well, I did actually research Filipino desserts to see what they might look like, and they looked very much like what was set out in my dream, and very interesting and delicious looking, so I might seek out where I might be able to find some of those and try some out, and also perhaps looking into the folk stories of the Filipino fairy stories might be in order. And really continuing to invite this energy, this presence into my dreams to see what it is that we are meeting about, what are we planning, what projects is she there to help me with. But, you know, just working with the energy of that magical energy of the dream and intention setting and planning and bringing that into my business, you know, and the things that I am planning and making it enjoyable.
Well, that all sounds
and a
treat
quite to
delicious.
Be so.
It really sounds good. I'm thinking that my bumper sticker, my one-liner from this dream is something like, you know, what I'm doing feeds the people really well, you know. We're feeding the people really well with fill in the blank with any description of what you're doing. The idea that this will feed the people something which is not only delicious but maybe nutritious as well is very reassuring. It reminds me of other dreams about food in which maybe a simple environment, dreams of my own and other people's related to our work and our causes at the time in which we're running a restaurant or owner of a restaurant or a canteen or even a soup kitchen where the people are being fed. So the idea is for me that I carry from the dream, I'm going to shape it into a one line
a bumper sticker or motto is, you know, this feeds the people wealth, something like that. And that energy I can carry with me. But something else I might do if it felt right, if I was in the mood for it. Sometimes you're in the mood, sometimes you're not. Sometimes your dream character is in the mood, sometimes not. I might just sit down and try and have a conversation with this Filipino woman. Just imagine that she's there in front of me and, you know, ask some questions or write down some answers. I did that with a character from a somewhat similar dream not long ago. She wasn't Filipino. But it was a dream in which I found myself in something set up in a very business-like, elegant way for meeting. And I tried to talk to the woman who was setting things up for my dream. I got a few answers. It wasn't an absolutely thrilling conversation, but I got a little bit more by dialogue with my dream character than I had from the dream itself. So that's another thing I might consider doing.
I love that idea, yeah. Really kind of bringing her into the planning process and letting her, you know, be a guide and talking to her, consulting her, and seeing what she has to show me. Yeah. I'm excited about the potential that the dream is bringing through. And
I think it's a very
exciting. I love how accessible dream incubation is, how you can just put an intention and you get a response as rich as the dream that came this morning.
Yeah, you really can, can't you? Do you spend, in your practice of dreaming, do you spend much time in the in-between state, in the hypnagogic state?
I do. I've had some really very impactful experiences in that twilight zone, as it's called, or the hypnagogic zone, in that conscious dream state between waking and sleeping.
I would say it's vastly underrated in most of the literature. I mean, almost nothing is written about it in most of the books on dreaming, including lucid dreaming, shamanism, etc. But I would say that for me personally, it's been the most creative and productive state of consciousness for most of my life. And this is not unique to me, or not unique to people who think of themselves as dreamers. I've noticed when I've tried to study where creativity takes place in the daily cycle in the minds of all sorts of interesting people, scientists, inventors, and other people, often the big breakthroughs come in this in-between state. Often the healing moments come when you go back to the ancient temples of Asclepius. You find out
yes.
that when the healing vision takes place, when the god, goddess, or divine healer appears, it's usually when the suppliant, the would-be beneficiary, is in that in-between state, not awake, not asleep, somewhere in between. So I'm just curious. I mean, sometimes we fall into bed exhausted and roused by the alarm clock and miss all these liminal spaces. But those of us who are capable of sleeping in a more disjointed way than people think is appropriate. I mean, I'm in polyphasic sleep. I never sleep more than a couple of hours at a time and never really need alarm clocks. So I have lots of drifty time in between the passages of deeper sleep, which might also be full of dreams. I'm just curious because I find that I get creative solutions in this space. I find the really interesting inner dialogues take place. Talk about the creative genius. Talk about your creative
yes.
team you have access. I find that I can embark effortlessly on adventures in what is called lucid dreaming, which for me is not about just about what happens during sleep. It's about your ability to shift consciousness and travel anytime. And I just find this a wonderful launch pad for adventures. So I'm just curious whether you, as really a world-class dreamer who gets out and about and all over the multidimensional universe, whether you use that space.
Yeah, I actually have an experience I can share with you about a situation where I was entering dreaming as there was a lightning. First, it's a very strong lightning storm going on outside as I slipped into bed and kind of slipped into my dream. And I became aware that there was a presence in the storm that was actually reaching out to me. And I was, as you mentioned, I was actually really tired and not really up for any adventures at that point. My intention was to sleep, actually, but this presence had something else in mind. And the next thing I knew, I was up in the middle of the Thunderhead in a conscious dream state, standing before this vortex of lightning that was swirling in the Thunderhead. Over, out of the vortex stepped my guide, who it turns out was Tesla, the great inventor, and he told me that the storm was about a transfer of energy from sacred sites to Dallas as the sacred sites on the planet were changing, these vortexes of energy, to places that were in need of change.
Wow.
So
right.
That was a very powerful experience.
I pushed a button and look what we got. This is terrific. You've been listening to Valerie Reed. ChrysalisHealingArts.org is her website. We'll be back after the break, really, to say thanks and dream on. You're listening to Way of the Dream over Robert Knopf.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Do pop over to mossdreams.com. If you don't know it yet, I finally recorded one of my books, narrated it myself, Dreaming the Soul Back Home. A lot of you have been asking for this for years. It's now out from Audible. Our wonderful guest today is Valerie Reed. She's a world-class dreamer. You can find her at chrysalishealingarts.org. Thank you so much for sharing with us, Valerie.
Oh, it's been great fun to be here with you, Robert, as always, and sharing dreams and exploring the multiverse together.
Oh, it's great. Your stories from the Rose, the Survival of the Rose Girl, to Journeying into a Thunderhead to Learn About Energy Vortexes over Dallas is fascinating and thrilling. So to Valerie and to everybody listening, may your best dreams come true and may you remember them.